This is Brian Jenkins of Chosen 300 Ministries. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to join us on the web at www.chosen300.org, where you can learn about volunteer activities and also opportunities for giving. You can give by sending us a gift to Chosen 300 Ministries at P.O. Box 95, Ardmore, Pennsylvania, 19003. We also have an option for online giving right on our website at chosen300.org, and we also encourage you to designate your United Way or community giving gifts at your place of employment to Chosen 300 Ministries. This is a big help to our ongoing expense for our mission projects in Center City, Philadelphia. We want to thank you so much for joining to us today, and may God bless you and you enjoy today's message.
Let's get ready for the Word of God. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you, God, for the opportunity to share your Word. We thank you, God, for the goodness of your Word and the miracle of your world. Now consecrate me now for thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. May my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. In Jesus' name, let us all say amen. Amen. Our scripture for this morning is found in Genesis, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 5. I want to thank God for, amen, that brother that read the scripture. He read that scripture this morning. Amen. Amen. Genesis, the 12th chapter, verse 1 to 5. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curse thee. And it shall all families of the earth be blessed." So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Verse 5, "And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came." Let us all say amen. Amen. Just turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, what it takes to get out. Get the other neighbor, make sure they understand the message. Say, neighbor, what it takes to get out. You know, when I was growing up, and around about 15 years old, right before my foster father died, he would sometimes come to me with this question. Boy, you're getting a little older now, and just want to know, what are your plans for life? What are your goals? What are you going to do with your life? Because I want to let you to know and understand that at 18, it's time for you to get out. And it was kind of an understanding in our household. There were 14 of us. I was the youngest, and so I've already saw the pattern that at 18, right after graduation, it was time to get out. I've taken care of you. What they said, I took care of you while you were a child. You know, I provided for you, but you need to start making some plans about getting out. Getting out. And a lot of times, in being involved in getting out of our current state, it's scary. It's scary because where we are, we're comfortable. We know how to operate in the place we are right now. But the challenge often is getting out. Because we've never experienced what is out, we only know what is in, because that's what we've been used to all this time, whether it's 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. We're just used to being in, but we don't know what it's like to get out. You know, sometimes during productivity time in the evenings, we ask people, what did they do today? And oftentimes I hear people say, I'm on disability. And don't get me wrong, I don't knock disability. Don't nobody call like the, you know, Department of Welfare on me. But there's nothing wrong with disability if you're using disability properly. Disability simply says is that you were in a condition, something happened that prevented you from doing the current thing that you were doing right now. And since you're not able to do the current thing that you were doing right now, we're going to help you. But in this process is that you ought to be looking for something else outside of the realm of what you were, because although you might be disabled from doing one thing, you are able to do something else. Because if you stay in that state, whether it's disability, whether it's SSI, whether it's living in a shelter, whatever state, if you stay in that state, just stay in the place that you are right now, you can only get what that place has to offer you. I know it's comfortable. I know the job that you're in, the relationship that you're in, whatever you're in right now, it's comfortable. And because you're in it right now, you're comfortable with the surroundings. And even though it brings forth difficulty, even though it's uncomfortable, you're comfortable because it's what you're used to and you're in it. And you don't know what's outside of your current circumstance. I want to let you know that there is a time for you right now. Just turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's time for you to get out, to get out. Abraham, in our text, Abram at this time was his name. And the Bible says that he dwelt with his father and his family and his household, what he grew up in, what he was used to, and Abram was doing all right. Abram was with his daddy. His daddy had stuff. He was doing all right. He didn't have to worry about where his next meal was coming from. He didn't have to worry about where he was going to sleep at night. But then the Lord brought a word unto him, and the Lord said unto Abram, verse 1 of the 12th chapter, get thee out of this country, from thy kindred, and out of thy father's house, unto a land I will show thee. Now the Lord didn't tell him anything about this land. Didn't tell him that, you know, what was going to be provided. Didn't tell him what the people were going to be like. Didn't tell him about the difficulty. Didn't tell him how long he was going to have to go to school. It didn't tell him anything. All he told him was, get out from where you are and go to a place I'm going to show you. Now, I got to scratch my head. I'd be a little concerned if I was Abraham. What do you mean, God, you want to just take me out of my comfortable state and take me to a place of uncertainty? But I want to let you know, if you follow God's command, you will find out what God has to offer you is a lot better than your current state. There's five things that we want to talk about this morning, five things that it takes to get out. The first thing is that you have to understand that your current state is not your destiny. Just turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, your current state is not your destiny. It is not your destiny. You know, I remember the story of Joseph. Joseph, in the book of Genesis, the Bible says that his brothers hated him. They didn't like him. They didn't like his coat of many colors. They didn't like that he was a daddy's boy. That every time that daddy wanted to find out what his brother was doing, he would send out Joseph. And Joseph would come back and be the family tattletale and tell on his brothers. But there was another problem with Joseph, that Joseph had a dream. Joseph had a destiny, that God was going to raise him up and put him above all of his family, and he was going to put him in a place of command. God had a destiny for Joseph. But the Bible says that his brothers hated him, and while they saw him coming afar off, they got together and said, we need to get rid of Joseph. And the Bible says that they put him in a pit. And listen about the pit. The Bible says that the pit, it was empty and there was no water in it. Joseph was in a pit. His dream, his destiny that he was going to be a ruler, that his destiny that he was going to be in command, but Joseph was in the pit. Now, I want to let you know that Joseph could have got comfortable and just stayed right in that pit. The pit, wasn't nobody bothering him in the pit. Couldn't get nobody get to him in the pit, but he was in the pit. But the pit was empty and there was no water in it. The question for you today, are you going to stay in the pit that life has put you in, or are you going to get out and get to the destiny that God has for you? Now let's look at Joseph for a second. This wasn't in here, but if you look at the story of Joseph, the Bible says that he didn't go right from the pit to the place of authority, but the Bible says that it took him some years. Matter of fact, he was 19 or about 17 years old when they put him in the pit. He was 30-something when he got to his place of destiny. destination. But I want to let you know that as God brought him out of the pit, he put him in a place of slavery in Potiphar's house. He had to be obedient to Potiphar. He had to do everything and bless Potiphar's house. And a lot of times we think that an entry-level position that God has for us is something wrong because it's not in our destiny. But in order to get to your destiny, you got to learn to get to the place where God has blessed you with right now. If he's blessed you to be a janitor, be the blessed janitor that you can be, and then God will lift you up. I want to let you know right now, there is no blessing that can be held back with you when you follow God's plan, because promotion comes not from the east, it doesn't come from the west, it doesn't come from the south, but exaltation and blessings come from God. Somebody ought to say amen. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to let you know the pits, the difficulty that you're going through, the place that you're in, that shelter, that place of low esteem is not your destiny. It's time for you to get out. Oh, come on, somebody ought to bless his name. Hallelujah. You got to get out. You got to get out. The five things it takes to get out. The first thing is understand your current state is not your destiny. The second thing is that you have to have faith. You have to have faith. Well, here, Abram. Abram's in his country. He's comfortable. He's comfortable. He's in his country among his kindred in his father's house. And the Lord says, get out and go to a land I will show you. I love this. I love this. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and verse 7. It says that we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith. Now, you first have to identify who the we are. The we are those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Because this is talking about the just, that we walk by faith and not by sight. So you have to understand that the people that you are around and listening to tell you what your destiny is, sometimes you need to put them people out and tell them like Beyonce, put your stuff in the box to the left. Everything that you own is right there, and stop living rent free in my head. And you have to understand that you need to get with some people that have some faith and start believing. Look, I might be down with you, but we're going to believe God that we're going to get out of this thing. We might be at the ridge together, but I want to thank God and believe God. We're going to go look for jobs together. We want to start fasting and praying together. We want to start serving God together, because I realize and you realize that we're not meant to be here together, but we're meant to get out and get to the destiny that God has for our lives. Somebody ought to say amen. Oh, you're going to get it. You're going to get it. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And the first verse of the Bible says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things what not seen. I don't see it yet. I don't know how I'm going to get out. I don't know where I'm going. All I know that it's time for me to get out. You got to have faith. There's five things it takes to get out. The first thing is understand your current state is not your destiny. The second thing is that you have to have faith. The third thing is that understand that God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your life. There's a song that says, I know the plans he has for you. You know what? I know what you're going through when you can't see your way and you can't see what tomorrow brings. I know the plans he has for you. God has a plan for you. And how do I know? Because the word of God says that I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I know that the word says that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I know the word says that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So you have to understand that God has a plan for your life. Now, it doesn't matter what happened in 2007. You need to stop living in 2007 and find out, what does God have for me in 2008? Oh, Isaiah says it this way. I love this. Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, 18th verse. It says, remember ye not the former things. the things in 2007, the things in 2006, the things in 2005 and 4 and 3 and 2. Some of y'all looking at 1974, but I want to let you know it says, for remember not. That means forget those things that are in the past. Neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing in you. You got to see this. I will do a new thing in you, but listen how it comes about. And it shall spring forth. You're going to get it in a second. It shall spring forth. Have you ever seen a spring that you have compressed down? When we were growing up, we used to play tricks on our friends. They had this thing where you had a little snake in the can of peanuts. And you open the can, and the spring just popped out. And it shall spring forth. See, when the blessings of God come your way and they are released in your life, they spring forth. And see, but a lot of times we are holding the cap on the can of our lives, and God wants to release the cap off the can so that your blessings, that the real you can come out and it can spring forth. And he says, I shall do a new thing in you, and it shall spring forth, and ye shall not know it. That means it's going to happen so quickly you didn't even recognize it. And I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now, if you really dissect this, a way in the wilderness, can you imagine that if you drive through the desert and there's no highway there, and then all of a sudden an I-95 pops in the desert? And that's what this is talking about, that a way being prepared in the wilderness. I know you can't see where your destiny is nor how you are going to get there, but God is saying that today it's time for you to get out. And if you just have faith and understand I have a plan for your life, he says, I'm going to make a way. I'm aware, make a way. Jesus himself says in John, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He says, I'm going to make a way. Now look at this. He also says that I'm going to make rivers in the desert. Have you ever seen a river in a desert? See, I know that in your life, you might look at your life and say, my life just looks dry. It doesn't look like that it has any possibility to produce anything effective. But what God is saying is that the new thing that I'm going to do in you is that I'm going to produce a river in your dry place. And when a river comes about, a water source, what happens is that it brings forth produce. I know it looks dry. It looks like impossible, but if you just trust God and realize that God does have a plan for you, that there is possibility for your life, there is potential for your life, there is a miracle waiting for you, but you got to get out. You got to get out. Well, what's the fourth thing? The fourth thing is that the blessing comes from God. The blessing comes from God. It doesn't come from anybody else. It doesn't come from your friends. Don't worry. Don't get me wrong, that God can use people to be a resource. But God is the source. Since Dave Patty used me yesterday in his sermon, I'm going to use him in mine. And since Dave Patty is a good friend of mine, I love my brother. He is on the board for our ministry. He is a wonderful resource. See, all those sodas that you drink, all those sodas drink, they have to get here some way. He works for the trucking company that gets the tractor trailers for free to get the sodas here. He's a good resource. But I'm not going to praise Dave Patty. I'm going to praise God, because God released a blessing down to Dave to allow him to be a resource and a redistributor of the blessings, because the doxology says it this way: praise God from whom all blessings flow. And if God is the blesser, I got to learn to give God praise to the blesser, that the blessings might be released in my life. You have to understand that in order to get out, you have to understand your current state is not your destiny. You have to have faith. Understand that God has a plan for you. The blessings come from God. And the fifth thing is that there's a purpose of being blessed. And that purpose is to be a blessing. See, a lot of times that when we get blessed or we get a little something in our pocket, we think that the blessing that God gave us is for our consumption. There's three people that once we get a blessing that we're interested in helping. You know who those three people are? Me, myself, and I. What can I do for me? How can I help me? What can I buy for me? I need some new docks. I'm going to get some new docks. I'm going to get a new suit. I'm going to get this. I'm going to get that. I'm going to do something for me. But you ever think about, God gave me this blessing. How can I be a blessing to somebody else? Don't get me wrong. God blesses you so that you can use some of it. But if you're holding on and consuming everything and you never release anything out, God can't bring anything else in. Do me a favor. Hold your fist. Hold your fist tight. Both of them. Get them both. Hold them tight. Hold them tight. Hold them tight. You ever try to catch something like that? And the reason why you can't catch anything because you're trying to hold on to everything that you have. But if you learn to release out, because as you release out, then there's space for something to come in. The scripture says it like this: give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will men give unto your bosom. You just got to trust God. You got to believe God that God will bring you out. But when God provides an avenue and an open door, you got to walk out of it. You're going to get this. There was a story about a lion that was in a cage. The lion was in a cage. It was 6 feet by 6 feet. And the lion was so used to just kind of walking back and forth. He walked 6 feet up and 6 feet back. 6 feet up and 6 feet back. And then one day, they decided they were going to let all the animals free. So they opened the door. They pulled the cat out. And you know what the cat did? Walked 6 feet up and 6 feet back. See, the problem is that the cage has already been open in your life. That's not the problem. The problem is you're so used to walking 6 feet up and 6 feet back. Up to the shelter and back. Up to Chosen 300 to get a meal and back. But God is saying it's time for you to get out. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with coming to this place for a meal, but this is not your destiny. This is just a place where you're traveling through, and the goal is that you will no longer be a partaker, but a participant in helping somebody else. Somebody ought to say amen. What it takes to get out. You have to understand that your current state is not your destiny. You have to have faith. Understand that God has a plan for you. Understand that the blessings come from God and that God is your source. And your purpose of being blessed is to be a blessing. With everyone standing on your feet, just put your hands together and just bless God real quickly. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody ought to lift your hands and tell them thank you this morning. Lord, I thank you for this time in my current state. But I hear your word today that this time is over for me. And I am going to start looking at the destiny and plan and purpose that God has for my life. When God created you, he created you because he needed you here. You're not a failure. You're a success. You just have to go after it. You're not a nobody. You are somebody. You just got to find who you are. God has a plan for you. He knows it's been difficult in your current state. But some of of you got so comfortable in your current state and you think this is what God has allotted for you. I want to let you know that God has something better, but you got to start making your arrangements to get out. Get out of the problem. Get out of the circumstance. Get out. Some of you need to get out of some relationships. Some of you have to get away from some family that keeps saying that you're nothing. And grab hold of God's word. And his word for you is to get out from among your kindred. Get out from among your people. And go into the land which I have for you. And I'm going to show you and possess it. Because what I have for you is so much better than you have right now. If you believe that this morning, just put your hands together and get excited about what God has for you. Oh, hallelujah! Oh, bless your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. This morning, I want to challenge you. See, part of getting out, you got to know how to hear from God. And in order how to hear from God, you got to have a relationship from him and with him. The Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that's you, believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. In Romans, the 10th chapter, the 9th verse, it says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. That's God's promise to you. And this morning, if you want to get out of a condition called sin and join the righteousness of God and be part of the kingdom of God, you want to be saved, you need to come on down. Come on, it's your day. Put your hands together, because I know there's some people here that need to give their life to the Lord. Come on, God wants you. Come on, God wants you. Come on, it's your day.
Well, praise the Lord. We hope you enjoyed today's mission message for today. We encourage you once again to sow a seed of faith into this ministry. We are the ministry that is uniting the body of Christ to reach the world to help the homeless and less fortunate. We also encourage you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. for our Sunday morning worship and breakfast. And again, any volunteer opportunity, they're located on the website at chosen300.org, where you can participate in helping the homeless and less fortunate. May God bless you and may heaven smile upon you.